This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
All right, let's get it rolling, man. Always nice to check in down in Coral Gables with the athletic director, Dan Radakovich, joins us here on a Friday. How you doing, Dan the man?
I'm doing great, Joe. Boy, it was kind of interesting. Saw you and Dan Marino yesterday over at Lone Depot. The Marlins came back and took care of my hometown Pirates.
His hometown, too. Game. By the way, speaking of Dan, yeah, his hometown, too. Yeah, it was funny.
Sure.
He was over in the Marlins dugout a little bit, and he's good friends with Jeff Conine. But then you could see him, and the Pirate guys wanted to kind of talk to him and the manager. And so he's over there, you know, it's like, he goes, damn, Joe, I used to go to that ballpark every day, you know, and hang out in the old ballpark they had before. So I'm with you. Hey, Dan, we got a lot of stuff to get to. First of all, man, I got to tell you, I was so impressed with Jay Lucas. For this crazy world of the NIL and transfer portal, I don't know what he's doing, but I feel good about it. This guy is made his age. He knows how the game is played. He's coming from a program and programs that know how this game is played. I think he's a perfect guy. How do you feel about the hire?
Well, I concur 100%. I think that he's the right person at the right time, especially here at the University of Miami. You know, one of the things we started, as we started the search for Jim Larrañaga's successor, I really wanted to find somebody who had really grown up in basketball. Now, there's a lot of coaches that have grown up in basketball, but it's different when your family has the history that Jay's has. You know, with his dad, John Lucas, being a great player, a great coach, still continues to do a lot of scouting across the world, has a great camp in Texas. And Jay's journey from McDonald's All-American in Florida and then Texas and working at Texas for a number of years under both Rick Barnes and Shaka Smart, and then moving on with Coach Calipari at Kentucky, and then being one of the first non-Duke people ever to be hired on their coaching staff when John Shire got the head coaching job, shows a lot about what a really incredible program thought about his basketball knowledge and background. So when we started the search and Jay expressed interest, it was a great courtship, and we were really glad to make sure to get him here. And you're right, he's been nonstop since he got here on March the 10th.
Now, Dan, I am so fascinated and curious about NIL culture and how it's changing all of college sports landscape, even the personalities of the young people. As an athletic director, obviously, it's impacted you in some of the hirings that you make, and you probably have to network a little bit more because the funds need to be raised. But how much do you think that it's changing, and will it continue to change? And is this change healthy?
Well, it is changing, Omar, that's for sure. I will tell you, you could look no further than the Sweet 16 that started last night. There were no Cinderellas. Cinderella didn't make the ball. No. And I am wondering whether or not that's going to be what we see moving into the future. You know, 2 years ago, you know, we had San Diego State, we had Florida Atlantic, we had Miami, and then we had UConn. UConn, you could throw into the blue blood, you know, world because they've won a number of national championships since the turn of the century. The other three solid programs, some power, us being a power five, but the other two being group of five as it relates to the football groupings. I'm not sure we're going to see that moving forward. I think that the concentration of resources within the Power Four conferences is probably going to make those types of runs that we've become so accustomed to in basketball, for sure, may make them even more rare.
Dan, I thought it was a home run for Pro Day on Monday. Sat there on NFL Network all day, and you guys had it. What a great day for free advertisement, not only with Cam Ward's workout, but all the guys, and got to see everybody that was there from the NFL. You had to feel pretty good about that. And I think it's great for recruiting. It's great for the school. You ever put a price tag on what that value is when you get something like that long with everybody covering Cam Ward and everybody else's workout?
Well, certainly. And I will tell you, it was a tremendous day at the Carol Sofer Indoor Practice Facility this past Monday. All 32 teams, over 80 NFL scouts and personnel. It was great to see Cam and all of his teammates return to campus. But as far as the valuation of that, yeah, there are metrics that you can put on that. But really, it's besides that. It's really the interpersonal things that happen with the people who are on the field. As you know, people seeing folks they hadn't seen in a long time, are players who aren't eligible for the NFL draft, being there, seeing how our senior players and draft eligible players were conducting themselves in this really stressful moment for them, in whether it's running 40s, three cone drills, vertical leaps, all those kinds of things. And certainly for Cam and some of the receivers, you know, throwing and catching passes. It was great to see our young players seeing that, because that's what pro days are supposed to be like at Miami. High number of people, high number of draft picks. That's what the University of Miami is used to. And that's where, you know, Mario and his staff have been able to now beginning year four, moving forward with a lot more attention being placed on the program. And that's really what we desire. And I don't know that you could put a value on that attention. But
that's a good point.
It's been really, really, really positive.
I would like to congratulate you, Dan, and the staff there at the University of Miami. I used to cover the Hurricanes for 7 years during the great heyday. And covering the NFL, the number one complaint I always had about the University of Miami Pro Day is they always put it right at the start of free agency, which prevented teams from having their executives and their coaches there. And thank God it was moved, not just to where it was moved this year, I think it's moved recently, but you also have it so close to the owners' meeting. It encourages people to come down and spend a little extra time in South Florida, and maybe they go out and they take the players out to lunch and spend a couple of days and get to know them. Those things are important in the NFL circle. What about the bond and mentorship that you're seeing happen from the young players like the Cam Wards that moves to the next generation of Hurricanes? Are you seeing that?
Oh, for sure. We have a lot of our players who, you know, continue to come back. You know, we've started spring practice, and, you know, every day you go out and just catch a few segments of spring practice, you'll see somebody who had been here over the last year or two come back and be around our current student athletes. So, you know, that's never been an issue here in South Florida. No matter where the players are, they like to come back to sunny South Florida. David Njoku has been here. for a while. The entire Cleveland front office marched through our hallways the other day, led by owner Jimmy Haslam. Kevin Stefanski, his coaching staff, they all were all here to have some conversations with Cam because obviously they have the second pick in the draft. So it's great to see people come here, interact, not only our former players, as you said, but other people outside of just that pro day coming for a second look.
Hey, Dan, spring. What do we got set up? People ask me always about spring game. I know it's right around the corner. How are you treating the spring game? Private, open, fam? What are you guys going to do?
Well, our spring game is going to be Saturday, April the 12th. Gates are going to open at 1:30. We're going to have a fan fest on Green Tree featuring activities for the kids and the whole family. We'll have some autographs from our players starting at 2 o'clock, and the spring game will kick at 3:30. Our Hurricane Club members will have an opportunity to claim tickets on Tuesday, beginning Tuesday, April 1st, and then tickets, whatever then left available, will go to the general public on Thursday the 3rd. It's going to be a fun day. That's the main point of this. Interestingly, yesterday, there was a football oversight committee call, and they talked about Colorado and Syracuse having a scrimmage against one another. Heck of an idea, something that's been talked about for more than a dozen years around college football. It was denied because it was just a one-off, but I really think the momentum is there to be able to, in the future, to allow, whether it's a full-blown scrimmage, a controlled scrimmage, something along those lines where you could see two teams coming together and having something in the spring.
But
look, our world's changed dramatically in a lot of different ways, and it's about time we look at this as a change opportunity as well.
But that's a lot more finances, number one. Number two, to really justify it, don't you have to do what the NFL does before a preseason game, have a few practices maybe against each other to really justify the cost of something like that, or no?
You could. It depends on how far away. You know, if it was within a bus ride, probably not for a lot of schools. But if it was a trip, I think that's what Syracuse and Colorado were going to do, is have a couple of practices on Thursday, Friday with a game on Saturday. But a lot of different ways to do it. But I think it was just really good to see the momentum of this kind of a new thinking out there. And hopefully it's going to get a lot of momentum into the near future.
Dan, we have that side, and then we have the other side of people not even having the spring game because they're worried about everybody stealing everybody else's players, so they're not going to have it anymore and not going to have a spring game at the end. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, everybody likes a different flavor ice cream.
Yeah,
Joe,
that's right.
And, you know, I think it's really where your program is at a certain stage. And, I think we're going to have our spring game. But it's interesting, Carson Beck obviously is not yet ready to throw. So Emery and Judd and Luke, I mean, they're getting most of the quarterback snaps. So it'd be good to see them face some live competition. But spring games have kind of moved a little lower on the totem pole just because you probably don't have the right number of players to be able to get it done correctly.
Dan, I want to ask you about the NIL and the transfer portal and the poaching law. I've always been an advocate for playoffs and
can't
players.
Stop poaching. Yeah. On behalf of the NCAA, there's no way to stop it. Is there, Dan? There's no way to stop somebody from making a call. You guys have been accused of it. I'm sure everybody's laughing about it because everybody's getting a hold of everybody. Do you agree with that before I let Omar finish?
Yeah, I do, because there's too many people who are within the rules have the ability to talk about certain players, whether it's high school coaches, agents. You know, there's just too many people around. I mean, I don't know that anybody would be brazen enough to have a coach talk to a player who's not in the portal yet, because there's so many other ways to convey messages. It's hard to stop.
Now, how do you think that we can get this? Because it's Wild Wild West right now. What's the theory? I know you're not the only athletic director. What's the thought process on trying to get this regulated or trying to create some sort of baseline.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the ION College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the ION College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
So everybody's on the same playing field.
Well, I think that's a great concept, Omar. I really do. First step would probably to get some type of a law passed through Congress where we have some parameters where not every state would be able to have their individual laws. And Nebraska is just about ready to do a different law than Illinois has, than Arkansas has, that Alabama has. You know, so we need to get all of the rules under one umbrella with some teeth in it, not just from an NCAA perspective, because they have not been successful in court trying to justify their rules. So it really needs to be something from Congress, which will give a limited antitrust exemption for the NCAA as it relates to intercollegiate athletics. You know, that being said, I think at that point in time, the Power Four conferences, and they have been doing this, are moving forward with rules that will come out of the House settlement. The House settlement is going to go in front of Judge Wilkins in San Francisco on April the 7th. We anticipate that it would be approved. She's given every signal that would be the case, but it may not be approved. She'll hear arguments on the 7th, probably rule a couple of weeks down the road. So at that point in time, everything that was pulled together in that House settlement, from the $20 million of revenue share money that can be given to student athletes, to the clearinghouse for NIL opportunities beyond that for student athletes that'll be run by Deloitte Consulting, those are all things that we're going to have to put into play to try to level the playing field and see how those things work before we can get to the next level.
Dan, I got to ask you about the other part of the sports program, baseball. We got spoiled for a long time, like football, that it was on top of the world and once again kind of got off to a good start but has played some tough ones here. What's your thoughts on baseball, the baseball program going forward with a tough schedule?
Well, Joe, I appreciate that. I mean, it's been a difficult stretch for our baseball program over the last few weeks. I mean, we've played an incredibly difficult schedule. Florida, Florida State, North Carolina, Wake Forest, or North Carolina coming up, Wake Forest. I mean, these are teams that are, you know, top 15, top 10 teams, and it's been a tough stretch for us right now. But we're only halfway through the season. I think we still have some time to turn things around. But we monitor this. It's kind of funny. People, in whatever medium they have to express opinions, think that we just don't watch baseball. But we watch baseball a lot, okay? And we watch it very, very closely. But, you know, there's not going to be an evaluation of the program until the conclusion of the season. We have to give JD and his staff, you know, the ability to finish this year out. We'll sit down and see where we're moving forward. But, you know, there's nobody that understands and respects the winning tradition of Miami baseball more than JD. Heck, he's been with it for the last 25 right. years. So, you know, I think that it's not going good right now. We know that, but we're about halfway home and we'll see how we finish it out. And we'll make any decisions at that point in time.
Hey, Dan, we got our money's worth out of you today. This has been some good stuff, man. You know what? We need this. That's good stuff today. By the way, Brian Baldinger spent the day at practice, said it was unbelievable watching Mario practice. He was blown away, loved what Mario was doing. Just couldn't talk. You know, he's a big guy. He likes all the big guys and stuff, and was raving about the big bodies, especially on that offensive line. So it was all good stuff coming out of there. Dan, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Awesome, Joe. Thanks so much, and call anytime.
Okay. I do. Thank you.
Thanks, bud.
All right.
Bye-bye.